Behind the Counter with the Food Czar podcast is brought to you by Berkshire Hathaway's 5-time Platinum Award Circle of Excellence winner and New Jersey's best realtor, Jennifer Kotler. Jen has over $100 million in sales and treats her clients like family. Jen knows New Jersey from head to toe. Selling or buying? Jen Kotler is your partner from beginning to end. Where do you want to live? Contact Jen at 201-803-2828. Welcome to the podcast Behind the Counter with your host, me, Heidi Blum, also known as the Food Czar. I was born and bred in Livingston, New Jersey, and I have seen firsthand over the past few years how food and the people behind the counter can bring a community together. We all have a story. We all have an appetite. Each episode will explore the thread between food, people, and community, and the stories that weave them all together. So let's get behind the counter and dig in. Here we go.
This is Behind the Counter.
Behind the Counter.
With the Food Czar. Here's Heidi.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter with the Food Czar, which is me, Heidi Blum. And today's guest, I'm really happy we're doing this because it seems very timely. I am sitting with Livingston's own and Fruita Bowl's own Gianna Marotta. What's up, Gianna?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
So the reason why the timing is so good on this is, number one, it's springtime and everyone is like trying to get into their bathing suit. Beach,
summer bod.
Summer bod, we're going to call it. So yeah. Summer bod. And also, there have been crazy rumors, which go figure in Livingston, that Fruita Bowls here in Livingston on South Livingston Ave is closing. So we're here to squash those rumors with like a real emphasized squash. Am I right?
Yes, big squash.
Big squash. And we're going to find out why the rumors got started. I think that's a song. And is it?
I maybe. Think so, yeah.
But we're also going to find out about you because I'm going to say you are a very young entrepreneur.
I'm 29.
So that to me, that's
young.
Very young.
I'm very young. And I know I am.
And you've owned this Fruita Bowls for how long?
7 years.
Okay. So you were 22.
Yep.
So that's a very young entrepreneurship.
It was, when we first opened, I kind of used it as like my little superpower because people thought I was just a kid here. They still do. But they would be like, oh, get the manager or the owner. And I was like, I'm right here.
That's amazing.
So that was the best part.
They probably they probably thought you were like one of the high school kids working the register.
And I still get that.
Well, you look very young.
To me, it's still shocking though because they're like, shouldn't you still be like in school? And I was like, I've graduated many moons ago now.
So let's discuss how Gianna got to own Fruita Bowls.
So I was 21 at the time, and my friend Brooke Gagliano, she started Fruita Bowls, and she started, and I think that was 2016.
The original
Fruita Bowls.
Wow.
So she was 23.
And she's like the founder of Fruita Bowls?
The founder of Fruita Bowls, yeah. Was one of my very good friends from college. So she
Wild.
Was a senior when I was a freshman at Drew University.
Right.
We played lacrosse together. And a couple years after she graduated, she opened up her first location in Howell.
Wow.
And same age, like 22, 23 years old, starting her business.
That was the very first Fruita Bowl location?
Yeah, first one ever.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
And then within that year, she got a lot of people coming up to her, asking her to franchise.
Right.
So she did. I went down with my parents, my roommates. We all went and hung out at her store. I told my parents, I was like, you know, this would be really cool to do. I was like, post-graduation, I would love to open my own business.
What was your major in college?
I was a business major.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I went very broad with specifically business studies, just so I had the opportunity to go in any direction.
Yeah.
And I was able to learn every little aspect of business.
That's incredible.
So it was
Did your friend out. Who, I have a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
Did your friend, was she a business major too?
Yes. I think she was specifically maybe finance.
Okay.
But She was unbelievable. She had her hand in everything, even in college.
Because 2016, were the like fruit bowl, acai.
Acai.
I see, I have to say it wrong. My kids get so mad. Acai bowl. Was that like craze happening then? I don't even think so.
So it was in a sense where if you knew about it, you knew about it.
Yeah.
Just from if you were maybe in sports and into health food, if you've even traveled to Hawaii, Brazil, even down in the Caribbean, most places have something like a smoothie bowl of some sort. So I think our competitors opened a little bit before then.
Okay.
And very similar concept. She made us different than them just by making us more, I'm going to say more healthy.
I was just going to ask. So how does... what is the difference? What makes Fruitable, like, what makes it more special than a competitor?
So most of our bases, we make them. We are in-house with the blender, putting all the ingredients together and blending it, putting it into our freezers. Other places, I call it scoopable acai, where you can get it in a bucket. You can even get it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And they kind of just defrost it and then scoop it out. And then just make the bowls off of that. So with that acai specifically, it has a lot of preservatives in it, where there's like the xanthan gum, the guarum gum.
Sure.
And myself, I can't have that stuff.
Right.
So it actually worked out with me picking Fruitables.
Sure.
And in my own health journey, finding out that I can't have that stuff. And that specific ingredients aren't in our acai.
Oh,
so it's
okay,
just the acai berry blended with banana.
So, but this also, I feel like, is a good fit for you with your sports background, right?
Yes.
Did you just play lacrosse?
I was a cheerleader as well.
Were you really?
Yes.
That's so, like, not what I would say. I would think you play soccer.
Yeah, I know. I cheered for 10 years.
Wow.
I absolutely loved cheerleading. I still do.
That's impressive. And you know, when you're, like, done with college, the sports wind down, mm-hmm. and, you know, then it's, like, just going to the gym. But this really complements your... Mm-hmm. portfolio.
I really wish this was around when I was in high school and college. Honestly, like, this would have been the perfect game day fuel to go in the morning, get a bowl, you get all the fruit, all the carbs from the fruit.
Yeah, and the healthy fats too.
And get through the game. Like, we didn't know we're eating bagels. Like, that does nothing for you.
Right.
If we had this, it would have been totally different.
It's fun. It's interesting. Like, can you create a bowl for an athlete?
I actually kind of did.
Okay.
So there's a sign behind you. Yeah. I don't know if you can see it. Oh, yeah. It's my protein yogurt bowl.
46 grams of protein, people.
So
46
grams. Is like the Gianna, I like to call it.
And it's only 480 calories.
Yep.
That's incredible.
So you really kind of make the best of it by what you're putting on top of it.
Just so you know, the Gianna has 46 grams of protein, 480 calories, and what's in it is yogurt, vanilla protein, either whey or plant, banana and pineapple, almond slices, cacao nibs, and peanut butter. And you can also get in granola as an option.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
So the granola will put a little extra crunch in it, a little extra calories, but that's not the worst thing.
Yeah.
I feel like people are terrified of calories. And it's not calories that you have to be worried about.
It's your macros.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That has been my go-to, like, lunch recently. And I'm down probably about 15 to 18 pounds.
Wow.
In the last 6 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And do you work out still?
I do. I'm obsessed.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
What's your to-go workout?
Orange Theory.
Really?
I'm, like, totally addicted to it.
The cardio. Of course.
It feels like I'm training like I did in college.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
So you're not originally from Livingston, correct?
No, but my parents are.
Okay. And?
My grandparents are.
So I was going to say, what's special about where Fruitables is mm-hmm. you're a fourth generation, am I right by saying this?
Yes.
Family member in this building.
Yep. So my family has been here since 1941 at this location.
What, and I feel like this used to be a gas station.
Yes, that was my grandfather.
Texaco?
Amoco,
yes. Yeah.
So my grandfather and his brother, they ran the place, A&A Auto.
Okay.
And then my dad worked here, my cousin's family affair here. And then,
so it was a garage and a gas station?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so my dad originally technically would be a mechanic.
Okay.
And then he opened up his own businesses here as well, which he still does. So, like, the trucks in the back, that's my dad.
Okay.
And then here I am.
That's pretty cool.
I'm the first woman business.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
22 years old, you started this, and the first woman. I mean, that's like, I need to hear the applause somewhere. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was good. It was hard. Being 22 years old and opening your own business was probably the hardest thing I've ever done and probably will ever do.
Who mentored you in terms of opening a business? Was there someone that, like, gave you advice that helped you with all the ins and outs?
Honestly, my parents. So my dad, he's been in his own business for 46 years, I want to say.
The sound of a blender. No, I mean, that's the
Mom's
best.
Mom's making
a
smoothie.
Yeah, the best.
But honestly, it was my parents. So he has been running his own business since he was a kid. It may not be the same business. It's changed over the years.
Sure.
He now does excavation. But it was him really helping me with, like, I call it my homework, which is my bookwork. So when I'm sitting at the counter doing payroll, whatever it is, like, he was the one helping me try to figure that aspect out. It's like, obviously I knew how to write a check, but, like, there's so much more to that.
It's so true. At 22, I mean, you don't know how to budget, really. I mean, you're coming out of college a little bit, maybe, but you really don't know about the real world in terms of business.
Like, if you want to grow up fast, open your own business.
I was just going to say that probably, like, I mean, really advanced you very quickly.
Like, it was hard because, like, a lot of my friends were still going out. They're still doing everything you're supposed to be doing at 22.
Sure.
And I was working 7 days a week. I was here. So it was a big
adjustment.
But
it was your own.
Yeah.
It's your own. I mean, I think that's the motivation probably, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, having the fact that it was my business, it was intimidating. But once I knew I could do it, it was, like, the biggest reward.
Did you research? I know you had the building, so the so the storefront existed for you.
Yeah.
Did you do research to say this would be good for Livingston? Which, by the way, it's brilliant for Livingston.
Yeah.
But did you do any research like that?
So it was kind of like a funny, perfect timing where everyone knows this was Rita's.
Oh, that's right. It was Rita's Ices. I forgot.
We all know everyone was devastated when Rita's went out.
Everyone was devastated.
They blamed my dad saying that mean, greedy landlord on Facebook when it wasn't true.
Oh, wow.
It was just Rita's happened to be going out.
Right.
The same exact time I was looking for a space. So Rita's was going out the same time that we were looking for a space.
Sure.
So we brought it to the franchise, which was my friend at the time, really, and just a couple people helping her. And they looked around, they saw the traffic going by, and they were like, you're right, this is a great space to open up.
Were you franchise number two?
So we were technically the fifth to franchise.
Okay.
But we were one of the first to sign the paperwork.
And so how many are there now?
I want to say there's about 30 to 40.
Wow.
There would have been more, but with COVID, a lot ended up going out.
Sure.
Just by nature.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It was
tough.
It was tough.
Yeah.
And if you weren't an owner-operated store, it was a long shot to make it through.
That's terrible.
Like, during that COVID time, it was just me and my mom working.
Yeah.
7 days a week for probably 3 to 4 months just to get through.
So some of the franchises are run by corporate and some are individually owned? Is that how it works?
No, some are general managed. So they're all individually owned, but some people can just have, like, a general manager run their store.
I see.
But I'm way too controlling to do that.
Good
for
you.
Where I have to be here as much as humanly possible.
And you're cute mom, so I think that's, I mean, it's a family affair. But that's what makes it also feel like not a franchise.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like it could be like I'm just a mom and pop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, store.
And I think that's what people love about us is that, like, they like seeing our faces come in every day. Like, we have a lot of people that come in, like, 2 to 3 times a week, and they like to talk to us.
Yeah.
They like to see what's going on. They want to know what's going on in my life, whose life. They just love that aspect of it.
I mean, that's where while we're I don't want to say we're a big town, but we do have the elements of a small town feel. I mean, we really do. If you, you know, we all know all the owners of the pizza places.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and that's, I think that's what makes this work so well here too.
Yeah. That, it's like you get the benefits of it being a franchise, but you get the little mom and pop feel of it.
Exactly. And that's going to make me pivot to the rumors that Fruitables was closing, and someone had reached out to me, and you ended up doing a post on Facebook.
Yes, in that our, got like over 100 likes.
Correct.
That so was so nice.
It was, what was so nice is to see how the town was like devastated that this was even a rumor.
Yeah.
So let's discuss the rumor. Fruitables is not closing. I repeat, Fruitables is not closing.
We are not closing. We are not closing.
So, next door, there was a cleaner's that is that closed.
Yes. So I think that's what originated this rumor, I'm sure, because what happens in this town, if one goes out in a strip, everyone kind of assumes the whole strip is going out for a redevelopment because they saw construction happening. And I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't we all close at the same time?
Correct.
That's what I thought.
Correct. That's good. Very good point.
So, the cleaners went out. No, I don't have his contact info. I'm sorry, everyone. But we're here. Live to Shop is still here. And then we have two new tenants coming in.
And that would be?
I believe it's called Margaret's, the nail salon.
Okay.
Where is that?
Over I don't
by
even
Jerusalem
know.
Pizza.
Okay.
Like that strip there.
Okay, yeah.
They're moving over here.
Okay.
So they'll be right next to Live to Shop.
Okay.
And then Carr's Eatery is going in where the cleaners was.
Okay.
So that'll be like fat sandwiches, burgers, like milkshakes.
Oh.
Late night eats.
Yeah. So you get
like
a little healthy lunch.
Us.
I was going to say opposite of you guys. Exactly. Now that you own this and you've owned it for 7 years, what was the hard, besides COVID, obviously that was a challenging time for everyone, what was the hardest part of being an owner?
I think the balance between like family life and work life, that could be the most challenging.
Right.
Just because there is a lot of, you know, I'm young.
Yep.
There's weddings going on, birthday parties, baptisms, whatever. There's all that stuff going on. But I can't put this place on pause for all of that stuff going on.
Right.
We are open 7 days a week. So that's where I try to really not rely, but rely on staffing to be able to help me out.
Sure.
But that's a whole other challenge in itself.
I know. That's the staffing is always,
especially this type of work environment, there's always quick turnaround.
Right.
Like you're never gonna get the people here looking for long term, multiple years.
No, is it high school kids that you have working?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's really who ends up applying.
Yeah.
So that's where you'll see me and my mom here during the day mostly, and then them here at night.
What time do you close at night?
In the winter, it's 6:30, and then in the summer, we push to 7.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that's good.
We kind of wait for like the daylight savings, and people are like, oh, it's warmer, it's like 65 degrees, and then they start coming in.
Yeah.
So like
they start running.
Yes.
They start walking. Yeah, I know what happened. They start biking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
They're getting their health on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that like weird 75 degree day in March.
Yeah.
We were very busy here.
Oh, that's fascinating. Because you don't have, it's not like ice cream, but it is smoothies, so it is cold and refreshing and healthy and all that.
Yeah, so it's seasonal, but you do get the people that come in the winter and recognize that this is something you can eat year-round.
So it is seasonal because the fruits in general are seasonal. So
exactly.
Do you get like a fruit, does Fruitables set you up with like a fruit delivery every day? What happens?
So we have specific vendors that we can order from.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to, but I can deviate if I maybe do find another vendor that can help me out on like a Saturday delivery if
I
need it. But like the main ingredients I get from corporate, they tell us this is who you order from.
Okay.
For daily fruit, we actually get that delivered pretty much every single day.
Wow.
So we're cutting fruit every day.
Wow.
So we try to keep it truly fresh every single day.
What's the number one fruit that is the hot ticket fruit? Hot ticket fruit.
Bananas and strawberries.
I mean, there's nothing better.
Exactly.
But do you have mango?
We do, yeah.
I mean, I love mango and I love coconut.
I'm not like a coconut flake person, but our coconut base, I absolutely love.
Really?
Yeah, that one, it just tastes like a piña colada, you know?
I mean, I know. It's like you can't go wrong.
I want that all the time.
I know. Add a little rum, play a little Caribbean music.
Listen, if you bring the rum, I'll put it in there.
I mean, you can.
Everything's bring, asked.
Exactly. It's all bring your own anyway around here.
Yeah.
So in terms of the menu and the names and all that, that's a Fruitable corporate thing. Okay.
Yeah. So any changes to the menu, that comes from the franchise.
Okay. So but you're allowed to create your own concoctions like this, like the
so
Gianna.
You can create within the ingredients we already have. So we can't bring in ingredients if it's not listed on the menu.
I gotcha.
But if it's already in a different item, you can flip-flop, do whatever you want. So like the Gianna bowl, we have all that stuff. So it's just kind of showing people that you can mix and match ingredients.
In different ways.
In different ways.
Right, okay. So I asked you what the hardest part was. What was the best part? The most rewarding, what's the most rewarding thing about being a business owner of Fruitables?
I think it was the day that I realized I could do it. Like, I had the confidence to do it.
When was that in your journey?
So, little backstory. I actually had a business partner when I first opened.
Okay.
And it was a roommate in college. That ended up not working out. No hard feelings.
It just didn't work out.
It was what it was.
Right.
And I was terrified that I wasn't going to have a partner. Almost like to rely on. Like someone to have my back.
Yeah.
And it worked out where my mom was leaving her corporate job where she stepped in. And was like, I'll just work in the store for with you a couple weeks, you know, just to help you get on your feet.
7 years later.
7 years later, she still works in the store. But it was that moment, like those first couple months without her, that I was like, you know what? I can do this. People are still coming in. They like, we can get through this.
You really can. Yeah. But I get that. I mean, it's hard to... Especially being at such a young age, it's the idea of being not dependent on somebody, but having just like holding someone's hand, like we're in it together.
Yeah.
So it's not all falling on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you should be so proud of yourself that you pushed forward.
Yeah. Like in reality, we could have both said, you know what, this isn't for us and just closed.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I knew I could do it. And I had to prove to myself that I could. So to me, that wasn't an option.
It's sort of like sports in a way.
Yeah.
It's like no quit
yeah.
attitude, right? I mean, it's a challenge.
You don't lose that part of you. That was also a really big change for me too, was going from sports to just being a regular old person. That was a very big challenge. And I think I kind of channeled it into owning my business.
I mean...
Every day is game day.
I was going to say, because, you know, being an athlete, I was not a college athlete. Mm-hmm. I was a jack of all sports, master of none athlete, but competitive. And to have that competitive edge, and you realize that no matter, it doesn't have to be a sport. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. And that probably was such a good transition for you because it keeps that, like, that gut check going.
The little drive alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really very hard for me.
Yeah, I'm
going
sure.
Going from sports to just nothing. It was weird.
You went from sports to a big something, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bold move.
I did actually coach for a couple years.
Lacrosse?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was also challenging because I was running a business and then also assistant coaching at 23 to, I think, 25, 26.
Oh, really? Where? Like elementary kids? Like
no,
rec?
I actually was the assistant coach at Mount St. Dominic in Caldwell.
Oh, wow. That's not nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And honestly, the only reason I gave it up was my fiance and I were starting our house hunt of becoming big-time adults.
Yep.
And
that's big time.
I knew I wasn't going to have the time to be going from here to there, going to look at open houses. There was just no way I was going to be able to do all of that.
Yeah.
And I knew at the time I needed to be here a little bit more because it was right when COVID was over, but not over. And it was like that in between in 2021.
Yeah.
That weird stage.
Time.
Yeah.
That I can't believe we went through. Yeah. Yes,
and
that
I was
time.
Like, just running myself ragged at that point. I was like, all right, I need to just take a little step back, refocus here, and then be a big girl is what I called it, getting my first house.
I mean, that's, you know, it's to me, even like having high school girls work for you, just to see mm-hmm. a young woman owned business mm-hmm. is huge. I mean, like, so whether you're coach, I know I'm relating everything to sports, but whether you're coaching or whether you're a business owner, I mean, you're a tremendous role model.
Thank you.
You may not feel it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, as an older woman, we are strong.
Yeah.
We are smart. We are beautiful. And to show the world that is an amazing thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're 29. You are about to enter another decade.
I know.
So what does that look like for you?
Well, I'm getting married in September.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's 8 years in the making.
Wow.
So he's been around truly for the whole Fruitables experience.
And you're still together.
Yes. Yes. He gets it. He works very hard as well. So he understands the hours that I have to put in.
And yeah.
He never held it against me. He was even here in the beginning cutting fruit in the back for me.
It's a family yeah. place. That's what I said. Yeah.
So he gets it, which I appreciate. But honestly, the next step after that will eventually having a family.
Yeah.
That in all honesty.
So this could be a generational Fruitables.
Yes. There might be a little Gianna running around.
That's right. Next owner. So in terms of Fruitables, what's the future for Fruitables, you think?
Definitely looking for maybe some expansion of some sort.
Sure.
And I've been actually trying to work with them with just expanding the Fruitables menu as a whole.
Like, for example?
Like, bringing in new bases.
I was going to say, like, do you have avocado? You could do, you know, I mean, that's always a big, yeah.
So we have avocado toast. We have, like, the pick two options where you can do the small smoothie with it. We just started doing refreshers. But really expanding, bringing in different base options, maybe a matcha smoothie.
Oh, that's cool.
So luckily for corporate, I am a millennial.
Yeah.
So they...
you know what people, what your age wants. I mean, it's true.
The age that they target is Gen Z and millennial.
Right.
So I know both.
Which is amazing.
So that's been like my biggest part of trying to help the franchise grow. So I'm telling them like, hey, when I'm out shopping, this is what I'm looking for. How do we add it to the menu?
You know what? That's cool because that's how, because you can't just stay like this.
Yeah.
Right? There always has to be some evolution.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I love matcha.
I
think that would be so
it.
Good. I love matcha
and then
ice cream.
Now I can't stop drinking it.
It's so good.
So I realized I get the, like, my caffeine fix without the jitters.
It has a lot of caffeine in it.
Yeah. And I'm like, to me, it tastes like dirt, you know.
But
if you
but
add the
dirt.
Honey and
good
you
dirt.
Put it over some, like, I like whole milk. I'm like, this is perfect.
Yeah, but it is good dirt.
It's good dirt.
But it's good dirt. It is good dirt. Yeah.
So, like, that would be, like, a dream smoothie to add. Would be the matcha because I would probably have it every day.
Yeah, that's amazing. What's a refresher?
So refresher is concentrated juice.
Okay.
But organic juice. It's not with the preservatives in it.
Right.
And then you can put it with green tea, lemonade. What else do we have? Coconut milk. Water just on its own.
Right.
They are so good.
Really?
They're very, very good. We're trying to compete with like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts,
sure.
those types of places.
Right. Like my daughter gets that strawberry thing at
yes.
so Starbucks.
We have that.
Oh, well, there you go. She'll be here even more now. That's great.
So
yeah.
Right now we just have it with mango and strawberry as the fruit options.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that we can expand to another option. Maybe it's dragon fruit. Maybe it is acai.
Right. Dragon fruit is pretty.
Yes.
But does it have a taste?
So I personally don't think so.
Yeah.
But our pitaya base is dragon fruit and it's blended with pineapple, banana, and almond milk. So when you mix it with the pineapple, it makes it more tropical tasting.
Okay. That makes sense.
At least I think so.
Right. Okay. And is your mom going to continue working here? She's looking at us.
Eyebrows
You're
raised.
Doing a very good job. I'm going to say yes. We're now moving into summer. Mm-hmm. The menu is changing. We've discussed the nutritional value that Fruitables adds, correct?
Yes.
So what would be your, besides the Gianna Ball, what's your favorite, what's your favorite smoothie?
The Way Up, hands down. So that's almond milk with strawberry, banana, vanilla protein, and peanut butter.
Yum.
It's just like a classic, you know? Strawberry and banana, what doesn't go better with
that? I mean, really. And then your favorite ball besides a Gianna Ball?
This new one called the Blue Bliss.
Okay.
That one is very good. It tastes like a pina colada.
Real? And it's blue?
Yes. So what it is coconut blended with pineapple and spirulina.
Oh, yeah. Talk about spirulina. So for people who don't know what spirulina is.
Yeah, so spirulina comes from algae, which automatically people are like, oh, my God, that's so gross.
Yep.
But it actually doesn't have a taste. So you really just get the color from it.
Okay.
And then just the vitamin and minerals.
I was going to say, it has very good antioxidants.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also been known to help with gut healing.
Okay.
So if you have Crohn's, colitis, anything like that with inflammation in your gut,
sure.
It's been known to help with that as well.
You also do catering.
Yes.
So even for like for example, Passover's coming, Mother's Day is coming, followed by Memorial Day, followed by Father's Day, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. But you can do platters of fruit.
Yes.
And could you do like make your own bowl like for someone?
Yeah.
I think that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. So we have it's like a Fruitables kit, and it comes with the base, the granola, different fruits, and different toppings. So you can get like a little scoopable acai, a scoop of granola, and you can sit there and put it all out and have your kids or coworkers, whoever it is, they can just scoop anything they want and make their own little bowl out of it.
That's amazing. Do you do a lot of catering?
It depends.
Yeah.
Honestly, it just depends. I feel like if people are hosting holidays at their house specifically, we get catering. But if they're going out of town, they're not necessarily bringing it with them, because I think they get worried about driving it.
Yeah.
And it's going to hold up. But it really does. We will go out of our way and make sure that it holds up for whichever distance you're going.
Do you do businesses?
Yes.
Yeah.
We actually recently, someone reached out, I have to confirm with them, but do a smoothie bar.
Oh, that's fun.
So we'll make like 10, 15, 20, however many you need, of different types of smoothies and have them all set out for lunchtime for the employees, and they can go and pick whichever one they want.
That's awesome. That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy if I was,
Right. It's different than like a coffee bar.
Totally. And it's different than like an ice cream bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice to give employees something different than like bagels and donuts, which everyone loves, but I feel like it's what everyone always does.
Yeah. So not much thought behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. It just makes it a little different.
Yeah. And also people want to, they're health conscious now. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to go to a corporate whatever, you don't want a bagel. You want a piece of fruit. Mm-hmm. You want something that you would eat at home or get for yourself. Yeah.
And I hate using the word trendy, but like it is trendy right now to be health conscious.
It sure is.
Especially with all the videos and TikToks that people are getting fed on, like, this is bad for you, this is bad for you, shouldn't be eating this. Like,
everything's bad for you, by the way.
Everything. Everything.
They will never say fruit is bad for you.
Anyone who says fruit is bad for you scares me.
Yeah. Well, people will say that it has too much sugar.
But
people
say
it's good sugar. I know it's good sugar. It's not bad sugar.
It's not like a pack of raw sugar.
No, it is not.
That's totally different.
Yeah. It fuels you.
Yeah.
And you need fuel.
That's exactly why you should be eating fruit before a game or working out or whatever it is that you need energy for.
Yep.
It's just natural energy.
We could spend a whole podcast on this. I mean, we really could. So Gianna, owner of Fruit Bowls in Livingston.
Yes.
On South Livingston Avenue.
That's not closing.
And that she started at the ripe age of 22.
Yeah.
And has been a successful female business owner for the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. I thank you very much for sitting with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And telling your story and telling everybody that Fruit Bowls is not closing.
I still can't believe I had to do that.
But if you're listening to this, you need to come support Gianna and Fruit Bowls.
Yes, please come visit me. I'm here
every day.
Every day.
Good luck with your wedding.
Thank you.
Good luck with getting everybody beach, what did you say it was?
Beach bod ready.
Yes, beach bod ready. Exactly. And I only wish you the most success in everything you do, which I don't think will be a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you are hearing this message, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I'm truly grateful for you and this opportunity. The purpose of the Behind the Counter podcast is to bring food, people, and community together. I hope you'll return for more episodes and explore with me. I want to personally thank Fran Linnell of Design 68 for my amazing Behind the Counter podcast logo, and Travis Lohenberg for my awesome Behind the Counter music, and all the guests that take their time to sit and talk with me. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you hear your podcasts. If you'd like to support the Behind the Counter podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends and family, and you can follow me on Instagram at Heidi Blum. If you have any feedback or stories that you want to share, you can email me at foodzarbtc@gmail.com.